15 IPOs coming up. What are you most excited about and why?
Honestly, if you ask me, the company that I'm most excited about is...
In the last 3 years, almost 4 lakh crore has been a net inflow by individual investors, and the previous decade was negative 1 lakh crore. So what has changed in this post-COVID scenario?
In terms of business, in India for next 20 years, capital market will continue to have very high.
This is the lineup of all the IPOs in the country, at least the big ones.
Meesho looks really exciting to me. Yeah. Because the pace at which they've been able to grow.
Bottom of the pyramid mein koi paisa nahi bana pa raha hai, but they have figured out a way. And 300 rupees ka order profitably kaise pahunchana hai, wo ek hi company kar pa rahi hai. And that TAM is infinite in India. It was very helpful to know that what does a person who manages 10,000 crore, what is he reading?
The best way to make odds in our favor is to invest it.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of The Asymmetric. I'm actually here after missing 2 weeks of Asymmetric, and I was having so much FOMO going through the episodes, kind of not having gone through them myself. Had a little bit of a back scare. I know Revanth spoke about it in the previous two episodes, but I've had this issue before. It's basically a disc bulge between the L4, L5, which impinges onto the nerve and leads to acute pain down my right leg, where I've had a surgery on my knee many years back, so it's a little bit more vulnerable. And just realized that, while we talk about health and fitness a lot, I think sometimes one just realizes that every body and every mind has some vulnerability. And in my case, unfortunately, it's the back. So whenever stress levels go up. So I was in the middle of shifting homes. You'll see me in a new home. We were raising capital. Just a lot of things kind of come together. And then, the weak point in your body gives way. And in my case, it's that. So, but thankfully, I got a small procedure on my back last week. And Revanth is the in-house expert on back surgery. So he was throughout on call, please take rest. Make sure you don't move around, as he always has kind of gone out of his way to make sure that I'm okay. But very happy to be back. And today is a fantastic episode. We have with us the founder of Deserve, Vaibhav. Vaibhav, thank you so much for taking time. Deserve, you must all know, but they manage almost 13 to 15,000 crores of capital. They're deeply involved across multiple asset classes. And Chirag, Revanth and I have kind of clearly shown our interest in public markets, IPOs, especially in the consumer tech space, venture capital backed space. So today we are going to go deep with Vaibhav on his understanding of not only the IPOs and new age IPOs, but also macro, what's happening in India from a regulatory standpoint, capital markets, how the consumption is moving, how income slabs are moving, how consumer is kind of looking at it, and of course, any other things that he finds super valuable and have meaningful impact for all of us. So Vaibhav, welcome to Asymmetric, and thank you so much for taking the time, and welcome to episode 34.
Sorry, Chirag, no, what is your average net worth of your client?
Net worth, let's divide this in two parts, financial net worth and overall net worth. Overall net worth would be between 10 to 15 crores. Financial net worth would be between 5 to 8 crores. So that's an average financial net worth of our client segment.
And you are, let's say, separating the other part, non-financial, is real estate, jewelry, etc.
Real estate, jewelry, provident funds, which are locked in, essentially locked in.
Got it. So,
and what would be the, this is very interesting. What would be the demographic, like metro, non-metro, gender, age, business versus professional? Like, would be great to get like some very broad segments into what this universe looks like.
70 to 75% would be either startup founders or CXOs, professionals. Age profile would be between 35 to 45. In terms of gender, I think about 65 to 70% would be male, and remaining would be females. Yeah.
Very good. 35% is female. That's
very cool.
That's much higher than I would have thought.
Yeah, because
but you're younger, Shantanu.
in lot of the
35 to 45 yaar are we 35 to 45 is not younger yaar nahi
matlab yaar wealth management ke liye to young hi hai hum 42 hai bhai kya bol rahe tu
main wahi bolne wala tha he continues to call himself young
maybe number
so, no, the starting point is 50 lakhs no
reasonable number of female investors are 30% for sure
and Vibhav, let's say average let's say 8 crores mein se 25% let's say they deploy with you is that the kind of share of wallet you see
no actually we are not a PMS provider what we do is comprehensive wealth management PMS is just a service portfolio management
that's one part of the business
so that's a platform that SEBI has given to us to manage clients money So you need to have some regulatory license to manage investors' money. You can either be a portfolio manager, you can be a advisor, or you can be a distributor. We have chosen to be portfolio manager. That doesn't mean that we don't touch the entire portfolio of the client. We advise on every asset class, comprehensive portfolio, and each part of the portfolio gets allocation to various strategies that we run.
Got it. So basically, you have an entire 100% share view, and then the way to define is, let's say PMS is your self-owned product, which is, let's say 20-25% or whatever allocation the client decides, which is directly in your control.
No, every part of the portfolio is directly under our control. So we have fixed income strategies also. So someone who's looking to invest in fixed income, they can invest in our fixed income strategies for a period of 18 to 24 months. Someone who's looking to invest in equity, we have solutions for that. See, what we have done is to create solutions for specific investment needs of every investor. So investors can typically have investment needs across fixed income. They can have some listed equity investing needs, or they can have some unlisted equity needs. We have created solutions for all of that. Now, each investor will have different allocation. Allocation doesn't define how we are going to manage money in each of these individual buckets. So, for example, if Raven decides to do 80% listed equity and you decide to do 20% listed equity, your portfolio will be similar. Allocation is different.
But I have a question, Vaibhav. PMS mein, for example, if I have to become your client, I have to deploy at least 50 lakhs.
Yeah.
But the other strategies, can I start a relationship with Deserve with a lower amount?
So, at an aggregate level, you need 50 lakhs.
Yeah,
got it. Across multiple PMS strategy, if you give me 50 lakhs, I can manage your money across.
Got it. Broadly, we are covering and saying that markets are all-time high, money flow is there. Barring any unforeseen circumstance, there's 2.5 lakh crore of, like there is cash lying with mutual funds that they have to deploy, but there's not enough places to deploy. And clearly looks like that is where this segment is coming in, which is the trend of equity raised through IPOs on NSE, and this is just the NSE data, I'm assuming BSE would be a little additional, is like at an all-time high. We are like seeing unprecedented, and there was one phase in FY22, then it sort of, obviously, this was the tech IPOs, Zomato, Policy Bazaar, Paytm, etc., which went. Then there was a little bit of connection, if we can call it, because people realized that that's too much exuberance, fundamentals are missing. And now FY25, you've seen like 1.5x, almost 1.6 lakh crore just on NSE. I think BSE would be maybe 20-30% of this. So overall, almost 2.5 lakh crore ka ek saal mein fresh listings hua hai in FY25. And from what we are hearing, FY26 is about to break that record as well. So clearly, it seems like every private company is realizing that we can... And this is happening in the US, right? There is a company like Stripe or a SpaceX, which is saying, I will forever remain private because I am profitable. I'll do a buyback. Or there is always a secondary market where shares are freely traded. But the US IPO market is not open. In some way or form, it has started opening a little because Trump has relaxed a few rules. It seems like the regulator is supportive. M&As are happening again. But a lot of private capital has remained private in the US. Whereas India private capital was never this large. And now people are realizing that there's so much cash lying on the sidelines in the public market that it's better to list. And that's the trend that we are seeing. And everyone sees this number. 2.5 lakh crore hai, to yaar utna to appetite hoga hi because paisa jayega kahan. Right? Correct. Kitna hi aap TCS, Infosys, Reliance खरीदोगे in that sense. And every VC, PE, startup founder, operator, everybody's wish is only one thing, that boss, list करो करके. And we are seeing that now as what Chirag mentioned, right? We have been the most highest volume in terms of IPOs across the entire world, right? Yeah, this chart, which is India's sort of been highest and will continue, looks like over the next 1 year will continue to break all records. What's your view as a capital allocator? How do you look at this situation? Like, clearly there is a supply demand gap, if I can call it that. Is that a fair hypothesis that that gap is large and therefore, and that's how economics works, right? Supply hai to demand aayi jayega, ya demand hai to supply will follow. And I can see that demand of cash is there, so therefore supply is now lining up. Is that a fair hypothesis?
Yeah, and maybe we are trying to get to ki yaar ye a phenomena dekho in these charts is like looks like uniquely happening in India. Right? So at least our hypothesis, what Revanth is trying to put out, is ki yaar supply badh raha hai. Is that the number one reason where supply is not only increasing, but it's sustained and is expected to increase? Hence, you know, this CY24 number, you try and project it to CY25-26, which in the other chart looks like it is going up, and with so many IPOs lined up. Is that what Revanth is also saying? Is that a correct hypothesis that supply is probably the leading factor for it, that there is so much supply which is looking to be deployed, and hence we'll continue to see these kind of IPOs and companies rushing for IPOs?
So there is a trifecta of factors here. First, extremely favorable valuations for someone who is looking to sell now. Second, there is excessive liquidity which is available in the system, which is coming from retail investors. And third, lot of funds which raised money in 2011-14 are looking to exit out of their investments.
The private funds you're talking about.
Private funds. So if you look at this fundraise for IPOs, most of it is offer for sale. So where someone has got an exit out of it. So it's not money which is being raised by private company or promoters to build new capacity or grow their business. Large part of it is offer for sale. So trifecta of factors: favorable valuations. Hyundai comes to India, sees extremely favorable valuations and says, we want to raise 18,000-19,000 crores. Private equity investors are seeing extremely favorable valuations, are happy to let go of their equity holdings. Mutual funds are happy because they are getting other avenues to invest money in. Otherwise, they were also getting limited to the number of stocks they could invest in. So new stocks are coming in the market. And sellers obviously are happy because they are getting an exit. So all three factors: willingness to sell, favorable valuation, and large capacity to absorb supply is leading to this kind of.
Interesting. Would love to, you know, this is the lineup of all the IPOs in the country, at least the big ones. Right. And I was trying to, you know, we were debating that what kind of, you know, let's go with Pine Labs. It's a payments company, offline, you know, heavy. And last round, they were valued at $5 billion. They are, what, $190 million of revenue expected and $4 million of EBITDA. What it is expected to be $2.5-3 billion of at IPO? Or $3 billion toh today, like EV to EBITDA toh is insane. How are you guys making, like, how do you look at this? Like, we of course, look at this as a great company, innovator on many angles, but how do you look at it from a financial investor point of view? Do you look at this as a compounder, growth machine?
See, some of these companies you can't build a 1 year view. You need to build a 5 year view. And if you expect that in 5 years this company can generate disproportionately higher growth, which can compensate for slightly higher valuations or maybe significantly higher valuations currently, then you would take that call. If you, again, it's a game of probability. As I said, it's a non-deterministic problem. Very difficult to predict growth with accuracy. So you would want to build in some margin of safety to say that if your assumptions are wrong by that much percentage, what is the amount of loss that you can incur in this trade. So basis that you will decide at the right valuations to enter. Some of these companies get a premium because there is no parallel in the market. So nobody knows how to value some of these businesses. So
is that an advantage or a disadvantage? That takes us to that question ki koi company nahi hai listed. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage ki aap jaake sikhana padega market ko ki yaar ye company ko aise dekhna hai. There is no like parallel. Of course, there will be global parallels. But that's question one. And maybe question two is there will be like second or third players in those like payment companies. For example, Razorpay will be there. Does it become easier when, let's say, a player gets listed? Now mutual funds or financial investors understand how to value that company. So is there easier for a second and third to come up? Difficult? Would love to know your view.
It's easier for second and third, and definitely the reference point of the last round valuation of the company does play a role in this. So there is some investor who has taken a call to invest money in this company at such valuation. So that reference point becomes extremely relevant for listed market also.
I was quite intrigued with Lenskart. It's a great company. Let's say today they're doing FY24 revenues, 5,500 crores almost. Out of that, India revenue is almost 3,200 crores and then international is 2,200 crores. Today it's 58-42. Now I'm trying to apply your principles that you would want to project. Ab aap project karoge over 2 years, I think international zyada ho jayega sir. Would you continue to value the same company? And then this is a different kind of a company. In my view, this is a retail company, not a tech, IT company. While traditionally, if I look at it, you have public market investors have loved and made a lot of money on ITES. How would you look at this kind of a company where something unique, it's a unique model. It goes back to what Revanth was telling, that there are unique business models which are being emerged. And then you want to slot them as one set of company, probably has global ambitions. And most likely, 2 years out, they're going to have predominantly international revenue. How would you look at such companies?
How different is their margin profile in India versus international markets?
In international. They have higher margins in international.
If that is the case, then I'll value that company much more favorably.
Because
if your revenue contribution over time will tilt towards international markets and exports with much higher margin, that means your profitability impact will be disproportionately large.
Yes. But I have heard the reverse also from people saying that if you are large in India, that means you have, let's say, larger market share. So, ye alag petra aata hai phir. Ki look at Marico, the oil mein 60% market share hai. So, yaar, you are a formidable force in this, right? Why do you want to go international when you will be one of the 500,000 people in a large market and you will have, let's say, 0.5 or 1% market share? Now, as an entrepreneur, we look at it as, boss, 1% toh kya hua? Large hai na? Dollar mein hai, better margin hai.
Yeah.
And even potential for growth is even more, right? But I think across the industry, by the way, mostly the venture capital industry, the advisors don't go in. Slightly changing now because content companies are making more money. Lenskart is showing that it is possible. Pehle 15 saal of venture capital na bahar nahi gaya tha koi. Ab wo ho raha hai.
Zomato went out, scaled so much, acquired so many companies and then retracted.
Let's say
there were failure stories more.
Correct. And there were more failure stories. Now I think there are more successes. But interestingly, and I think I'll tell you where it converges a little differently. Everyone looks at India growth rates in consumption and can put an Excel sheet and say, ki yaar, ye badhiya hoga karke. Whereas most international markets are capped out where it's a dogfight to only, like the spy is not growing. Tum sirf market share khichta nahi kar rahe ho. So people have a view that aaj aapka jo profit hai na, wo kal kam hoga because competition sirf badhega aur market nahi badh raha hai. Like a Europe market, which is stagnant, you may be in Europe. Let's say Lenskart is in Southeast Asia, Japan, now Middle East and Eastern Europe. Those are still high growth markets. But a Western Europe is like totally screwed as a market. So you may have a very high EBITDA business in Western Europe today. But because the market is stagnant, पांच साल बाद अगर मैं देखूंगा तो आपका एक्चुअली मार्जिन कम होगा. सो दे टेक्निकली देन से कि यार दिस इज नॉट अ वेरी वैल्यूएबल बिजनेस बिकॉज अगेन यू आर गोइंग 5 years आउट. इज दैट अ
Marico, for example, with oil, it's not about anything else, but I think just because relationships with channel, brand equity, etc., is so high that it's almost impossible for someone else to come in and take, let's say, 2% market share in coconut oil from Marico, right? While in a large in an international market with like 30 players more, you could easily kind of get chewed out by a cost curve situation or, you know, yep. relationship which you're sitting in Bombay and there's something happening in a meeting room in, you know, in Bentonville or something and you're out, right? So I think it's more about that, which is why also, for example, the way they value Varun Beverages is ki it's the stickiest business possible now. Well, now it's about the moat. And that's why also, for example, it's I don't think they would value FMCG for 25% margin in offline. It was more that you own the distribution. The retailer didn't own it. The retailer was dependent, you owned it. While in international markets, you don't really own it. You have, and maybe the different people frame it differently. Some will say your brand is not getting built out because it's too distributed. Some will say you don't, the control is too far away. Some will say, for example, margin profile, like Revan, what you're saying, might erode over a period of time. But I think it's more about control and ease to get in. And that's, I think that's, I would love to hear Vaibhav's thoughts. I always feel like markets love, you know, businesses where there is barrier to entry, because if there's high barrier to entry, then like apan jo bolte na re one brand mein moat then have to premiumize, fir tum extra charge kar sakte ho, fevicol type, you can charge whatever you want, people will continue to buy.
But that's effectively how a typical consumer business will play out. If you are able to establish strong brand and you create enough barrier to entry, then your margin is what you want it to be. Nestle runs an 83% ROE business. Barrier to entry, baby food products, who can give a competition to them? So that's how it's going to play out. See, some of these are assumptions, as I said. What you are saying or what I may say are also assumptions. But you need to possibly water down some of these assumptions and then say, will it still make sense?
But Vaibhav, you've been very coy on this. I'm going to put you on the spot, yaar. 10, 12, 15 IPOs coming up. There is no regulatory power stopping you from at least giving your views on private companies.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about and why?
Honestly, if you ask me, the company that I'm most excited about is National Stock Exchange IPO. That's the biggest fintech in the country.
In the country,
don't realize. There is no fintech which is bigger than NSE in India.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also regulatory mode. Effectively, Nestle ka bhi bola aapne. The government doesn't allow to advertise baby products.
Yeah.
Right? And Nestle has a massive distribution moat with doctors. Ki yaar, hamara baby product. Like Reckitt has tried a lot with Enfamil and Enfagrow, right, Shantanu? Yeah. But Nestle over 50 years has built so much. NSE ka regulatory moat hai na, do hi exchange hai. Ab teesra exchange to aayega nahi. And between the two, NSE is like 10 times the bigger than now BSE. So, ये गलत है यार. फिर तो मतलब न्यू एज वाली कंपनीज में आप इन्वेस्ट ही नहीं करोगे, ऐसा थोड़ी होता है यार. कुछ तो
आई एम जस्ट रिस्पोंडिंग टू योर क्वेश्चन दैट व्हिच आईपीओ आई एम मोस्ट एक्साइटेड अबाउट,
व्हिच ओवरवैल्यूड स्टार्टअप बोल देते हैं. वीसी बैक स्टार्टअप, प्लीज लेट्स बी वेरी वेरी क्लियर. व्हिच वीसी बैक स्टार्टअप?
मीशो लुक्स रियली एक्साइटिंग टू मी.
एंड व्हाई?
Yeah,
because the pace at which they've been able to grow, the amount of volume that they are able to generate, their CACs and their revenue seems to be in a very different orbit.
Got it. And basically, I'm assuming you also like their distribution moats, that bottom of the pyramid mein koi paisa nahi bana pa raha hai, but they have figured out a way. And that's out. Almost like a moat, because ab wo game koi khel nahi paega. Na Amazon khel paega, na Flipkart khel paega, na Blinkit khel paega. Like pure bottom of pyramid, 300 rupees ka order profitably kaise pahunchana hai, wo ek hi company kar pa rahi hai. And that TAM is infinite in India.
Infinite.
Like, there is no...
It goes to the same what Anand Dune keeps saying. If you can crack India 2-3, then TAM is never a question. The problem is, can you make money there?
Can you make money
there? I think
there?
That company has figured out a way to make money.
I think CK Prahlad should revise his code. Making money at the bottom of the pyramid ke book mein ab Meesho a jana chahiye.
Interesting IPO hone wala hai, because it's going to be the first e-commerce marketplace IPO. ahead of Flipkart mostly. None of that is listed, so I'm personally looking forward to that one. And it's a very and exciting, and the way they have figured out the revenue pools, I think it's also commendable.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I think that business, the growth potential, uncertainty is very limited.
आपके प्रोबेबिलिटी मैट्रिक्स पे बैठ गया ये हाई प्रोबेबिलिटी ऑफ इट गिविंग प्रॉफिटेबल ग्रोथ ओवर द नेक्स्ट 5 years दैट्स हाउ यू आर ब्रॉडली पुटिंग इट
दो तीन चीजें हैं द रिस्क ऑफ डिसरप्शन इज आल्सो मच लोअर
या दैट्स द बिग वन या
व्हाट इज सेकंड मोस्ट एक्साइटेड हम ऐसे नहीं छोड़ रहे बाबा आपको आप इतना यू कैन बी अ लिटिल ओपन विथ आवर गेसी पीपल Not everybody can afford to be part of Deserve. I know you want all our audience to, you know, invest their money through Deserve, but let some of them make money otherwise also. No? What is the second IPO you're excited about?
See, I'm really excited about UC and Grow both, but UC more because a very interesting data or pattern has evolved. When you look at household spending, we are moving away from product to services.
So, 100 rupees we're spending.
आप या तो प्रोडक्ट खरीद रहे हो आप जाके पार्ले जी बिस्किट खरीद रहे हो ऑयल हेयर ऑयल खरीद रहे हो या पर्सनल केयर प्रोडक्ट खरीद रहे हो नाउ वी आर मूविंग अवे एंड लुकिंग एट सर्विसेज
एंड डू यू हैव द रेशियोज लाइक लास्ट 10 इयर्स हाउ वाज दैट मूव लाइक 80-20 इज गोइंग टू 60-40 लाइक व्हाट्स हैपनिंग देयर
इफ यू लुक एट नाउ आई थिंक इट इज अबाउट 30% टुवर्ड्स सर्विसेज ऑफ डिफरेंट काइंड्स So that I'm very excited about. And some of the companies which may not feature here in this list, but anything to do with healthcare will be very exciting. People are spending more money on wellness, education. Some of these platforms have great potential. Because the consumer pattern, the moment you cross $3,000, $3,500 per capita, consumer behavior is very different.
Yeah.
Even today, when we look at our inflation, consumer inflation, the 45% weightage is given to food and
grocery. Fuel, yeah.
Who spends 45% on food and fuel?
It's largely the people who are below 2000, below 1500 GDP per capita.
It's not representative of where we are spending money. Money is getting spent on eating out, money is getting spent on travel, money is getting spent on personal care. So that shift, any company which is able to capture that shift, household spending towards services is going to do really well.
Very macro thesis, huh? Like you are looking at it from a very macro perspective ki desh kahan ja raha hai aur usme kaun si company ye capture karegi and with decent economics, they will have a basically tailwinds bol raha ki yaar tailwind kahan hai, wahan kaun latch on karke aage badhta raha hai.
But you know, why do you say less of products and more of services? Let's say as the GDP.
I'm saying growth.
No, so I'm saying you are saying that household expenditure of people as they cross $3,500 is going towards more services and products, right?
More services and products. Products, you can't eat more.
No, but you can... like you said, health and wellness. You mean more, let's say, spas and gyms than, let's say, consuming more supplements, etc.
Both, but more spa and gyms. Besides spa and gym, also you upgrade. When you're traveling, you would travel differently. When you are going to a salon, maybe you'll do an upgrade. When you are eating in a restaurant, maybe you'll go to a better restaurant. So when you go to a hotel, maybe you will spend more on F&B. So lot of different changes take place once you cross a certain threshold of income.
Would you know US product versus services where, what is the ratio?
I would not know that data, but that would be an interesting data to look at. But US is honestly in a different orbit because when you're talking about...
Indonesia at $4,500, $5,000 GDP per capita could be an interesting place to...
I won't have that data handy, but that would be an interesting data to look
interesting.
At.
Interesting. Got it. So clearly, I need to tell my board members that Vaibhav has told me, go IPO, healthcare platform will be very good. And
services too.
but that services only
do diagnostic services. Amazon has started to do diagnostic services. You saw that?
Yeah.
The pharmacy is done well. They are now, I hear, at about $150 million GMV a year now, just on pharmacy. But overall pharmacies have done well. I know the 1MG, NetMeds, Pharmeasy saga didn't end well, but there was a little bit of overcapitalization. If you see the broad trend, Tata 1MG is doing quite well. But overall, to be honest, Weber, a lot of it is not just services, right? A lot of it is still supplements. Like we are seeing, you ask any e-commerce and quick commerce company, they'll say the largest, fastest growing is health and wellness.
No, so it's a product,
by the way. Services, you're right, 100%. There's a lot of premiumization. But we had Sameer Maheshwari on the pod, right? Like he went from, like he was saying that the first 10 years were so, so slow and hard. But the last 2-3 have just been game changing, right? Like protein consumption has gone through the roof. Prices have doubled. You won't believe it. Prices have doubled. Still, the volume is growing. So there's value growth and there's massive volume growth as well.
See, uska the other reason is this very interesting thing. Aspirationals, 10 years ago were hyper-local. You got influenced by what you saw around you.
Yeah.
Now there is no limit to your aspirations. Whatever you see on social media, you can aspire to get that. And availability of that is also there.
Correct.
Aspirations are no longer hyper-local now.
Yeah. No, fully makes sense. But you also mentioned grow. A little bit on that. Like, is that also more... Because I could argue that the best growth of grow is maybe behind it because now SEBI and RBI will start clamping down even more. And maybe... I know it's a very profitable business. One of the rare businesses that is very profitable, well, is looking to list. But do you feel that at 7, 8, 9 billion, the best... You know, compounding is behind it, or do you think this consumer pattern will continue to surprise us?
I won't comment on the valuations, but in terms of business, any financial services business in India for next 20 years, capital marketplace will continue to have very high growth. And capital market as a play for next 20 years, you look at this data, there is a cumulative household net worth breakup of Indian households.
Wow.
This is there in Sajid's report. Bloom report also is there. I remember this. Yes. Very interesting.
So you feel that the 6% of equities will technically, let's say, go to 20% like the US has, etc. And therefore, anybody playing the capital market wealth game, like yourself, like I'm very happy. Also, caveat, I'm an investor in Deserve. And every time they call me to sell, I'm like, Mani bech raha hun. Same logic, by the way. That if the biggest wealth creation is in the next decade, anyone playing the wealth tech game has to be the beneficiary of that.
Let's make a number. Okay, India's nominal GDP grows at 10%.
Okay.
Okay. At 10%, in 7.2 years, economy should double.
Yeah.
In 15 years, it should go up 4 times.
Yeah.
Right? Market cap today is 130% of GDP. So let's say GDP becomes $16 trillion. Market cap will become $20 trillion. So 4x growth is there in market cap itself.
Correct.
Without accounting for any new companies getting added to this list.
Effectively, you're saying that there is obviously, like, we keep getting surprised with more and more brokers coming in. Like, you know, Zerodha was there, then Grow came in and also got profitable and large. Dhan came in, also got profitable and large. What you're saying is if you get to the right, and I remember a lot of investors say this, right? Great founder, bad market is still an investment they would not make. Average founder, great market is still a great investment to make because... Yeah. The market always wins in that sense. Effectively, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, market is so good that you can do average execution pe bhi theek hi kar loge aap, because tailwind is so much in the market. Mein.
All in, ho jao India.
20% plus growth hai mutual fund AUM ka for last 10 years.
Wow. So you're saying that market leader, and I think Grow is the market leader. So you will attribute that the market leader will grow bigger idly and capture a lion's share of the 20%. So then it's very easy to underwrite that investment in that sense.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. You have a lot of charts here. We have not covered anything. You know, anything exciting
See, the one chart that I wanted to cover was why it's so difficult to estimate anything. Every year, analysts would start with estimating certain earning growth for Nifty 50. And this has been the trajectory in which their estimates have gone through the year.
My God. So, start of the year se leke end of the year tak, usually there is a 15% drop. Is that a fair read of this chart? 15% se estimates se drop hoi jate.
Drop hoi jate.
Wow.
So why start of the year, everyone is optimistic.
So why it is so difficult to estimate market earning growth?
No, but I could use this and say like investors do it. Na, ki yaar founder to beche gai, main haircut lunga founder ke case pe. So I could take every analyst chart and say let's take a 20% haircut and start there. Nahi kya?
But that's where margin of safety comes into play. If you are investing at a favorable valuation, see, usme dusra hai, you can get it wrong on the other side also.
Very, very interesting. What else? Yeah, you seem to have a lot of charts that we should have maybe covered. Like, kuch, can we probe you more for the, I know teen to apne badhiya IPO batai diye, but or two more that you would be excited. I am a little sad that neither Bluestone nor Wakefit made it to your list. I'm like, yeah, consumer companies to are screwed. Yeah. Shantanu, kya karenge apan? Webo is not excited. Yeah.
I'm
excited. Bluestone is a good, good use, like steady, like I think Carrot Lane,
you
part
asked,
of Titan.
You asked me to name two. I would have named all of these companies are super exciting.
Webo is now like, yeah, chane nahi, mere investors hi bolenge kya kar raha hai yaar.
Main wo nahi bol raha hu. Main to just, I'm generally saying that what I can comment on is...
Fair enough.
You asked me to comment on two companies. I commented on two companies.
I think since we discussed a lot of private companies now, I think this is one chart which stood out for me in a Q2 report.
Hmm.
Which is, let's say, on one axis, there is profitability, and on the other axis, there is growth. So they are saying, if you are profitable and if you are high growth in US, by the way, this is US, we should try and construct this for India. If you're greater than 25%, then you should be filing your S1. And if you're on the other side, then there are different strategies, with the rightmost one being, if you are not profitable, if you're growing less than 25% in US, then boss, there is reinvention of your overall strategy, the way you're growing. What do you think India would stand in this from a decision matrix filing for IPO point of view? That what excites Indian public market investors? That what kind of growth and what kind of profitability?
See, profitability market is not really worried about in an immediate future. But if you have any slip up on growth, then market will penalize you severely.
And you mean to say like higher growth, at least 30% plus in Indian market, specifically if you are not profitable?
If you are not profitable, 35% plus growth is what is expected. Because that's what it will take for you to generate meaningful profits, which starts making sense before your growth starts normalizing. You need to get to a certain base profit level before you start normalizing. Every business growth will start normalizing at some point.
And if I go back...
Like we have the rule of 40, Chirag.
Sorry, I was just checking these companies that, let's say, our Pine Labs, at least year-on-year growth is 65%. There are companies which are in the 15-20 ranges as well. Lenskart, of course, is growing well. I think they have done a massive acquisition also last year. But Urban Company is probably just making it 38%.
Like I was saying, that private markets mein rule of 40 lagte na, ki your growth plus your EBITDA, as long as it's 40% plus, it's an exciting business. I'm hearing Webhouse say that number is around 30 for
maine
public
private
markets.
Companies ke liye to rule of 45 bana liya tha. Because I said 5% se hamara currency depreciate hoga.
Thank God. I think
he's saying rule of 35 with 0% profitability.
With negative. That's why I think rule of 30 hai. Let's assume negative 5% EBITDA. 35. So
hum dono alag baat kar rahe hai. He's talking about PAT, you're talking about EBITDA.
No. By what I mean of, let's say rule of 30 is, let's say if you have zero EBITDA, 30% growth, and maybe I'm, right? If you're 5% EBITDA, 25% growth is also okay. If you're 10% EBITDA, 20% growth is also okay. That's if you add both, to sab kuch 30 ho raha. I'm saying,
but
is that a fair way to look at it?
There is a third dimension also, the valuation.
No. Let's leave apart that. I'm saying,
but how
whatever, let's say,
any assumption is incomplete without looking at the valuation.
वो तो आपने बता दिया इंडिया इज विलिंग टू गिव प्रीमियम वैल्यूएशन
तो लिक्विडिटी ड्रिवन है ना थोड़ा सा लाइक वैल्यूएशंस आर लिक्विडिटी ड्रिवन राइट लाइक वी गो फ्रॉम 25 टाइम्स पी टू 15 टाइम्स पी ऑल डिपेंडेंट ऑन सेंटीमेंट एंड लिक्विडिटी राइट
दूसरा द इशू इन सम ऑफ दीज थिंग्स इज पीपल डोंट नो हाउ टू प्रिडिक्ट ग्रोथ ऑफ इनोवेशन सो लेट्स से एआई How do you predict what would be the revenue model and what would be the growth that will emerge out of it? If you look at 2000.com bubble, the issue was not that these businesses didn't grow. People could not understand at what rate these businesses will grow and how many of these businesses will survive. So it's very difficult I have a favorite example that I use that when you're looking at future growth assumption of any kind, there's always a degree of uncertainty. In 2005, I told you that India will have 93% mobile penetration.
You go to a McKinsey and they'll say, nahi hoga karke, 50% hoga. And ye dikkat ho jati hai.
I'm saying, chalo, you can visualize the future and you'll say 93% penetration. Bharti's returns from 2005 to 25 is 16% in a duopoly.
Interesting. So I'm taking away growth important. Hai. As long as you're not bleeding a lot, growth solve kar lo. Fir usse future mein rosi solve ho jayega.
But stage wise, right? How mature the company is, how mature the business. So there is no one single answer for all the stages.
It looks like from your answers ki or your views ki there are takers for all kind of business models which takes me to ki India mein let's say somebody has to do a $300-500 million IPO how many large mutual fund investors are there who would be willing to invest
400-500 million is small amount for India
bahut chota hai yaar
I'm saying IPO proceeds not value
ha 5000 crore ka IPO ho gaya na 500 million
400 crore, correct. 5 crore.
At least, it is not concentrated. All the money is not concentrated with 4 or 5 people. Is that fair to say then?
It's not.
It is, but I think.
Okay, so some degree of concentration is there. So all the large AMCs would play a dominant role. But money is fairly well spread. You have insurance companies that participate. You have FPIs that participate. You have family offices have become big investors now. So, AIFs have become big investors now. So, there are multiple pools of capital which are available now.
But from what I hear, Vaibhav, at least from the public market bankers, is there is a list of 25. Like I was asking them, right? Aap ye char char banker hamesha hote hai, left lead, then, do international, do domestic, and you need one domestic at least and stuff like that, right? Char, end mein to list wahi hai, and they said, होता क्या है कि चार बैंकर होंगे सबसे ज्यादा लड़ाई होती है कि ये 25 जो है सबसे बड़े उसमें व्हाट इज द एलोकेशन बिकॉज उन 25 में ही पूरा खत्म हो जाता है लाइक बाकी लोग को स्क्रैप्स मिलते हैं बिकॉज द अमाउंट लाइक अनलेस यू डूइंग एनएससी लेवल आईपीओ वेयर यू नो 2-4 billion dollars में गेट डिप्लॉयड इन वन गो और आई थिंक आई एम हियरिंग 8-10 billion dollars नो आईपीओ इज लार्ज इनफ टूडे लाइक इवन एट $1 billion दीज 25 विल गॉबल अप 80%
Monthly incremental flows to equity mutual funds is 30,000 crores. So every month they can absorb that kind of.
तो absorb कर ही सकते. Leave aside what is there.
तो तेजी चलनी है शांतनु next year IPO करना था.
As long as flows remain strong, I don't think absorption of supply is an issue.
मैं कह रहा हूँ अभी आज confidentiality mode में file कर दो.
कौन सा कॉन्फिडेंशियल हर डीआरएचपी तो आ जाता है लाइक क्योर फूड्स डीआरएचपी कॉन्फिडेंशियल फाइलिंग it's circulating everywhere and I'm ex food delivery, right? So Vaibhav, sab bol rahe kya lag raha hai, kya lag raha hai. I'm like, bhai, mere ko time nahi hai dekhne ke liye. But have you seen and do you have a view on Cure Foods?
No, I haven't looked at it.
Would be interesting to see because first food delivery, like there's Rebel, there's Eat Club and there's Cure Foods.
Cure Foods.
All multi-brand, slight nuances in the model, but all multi-brand compared to a Domino's or a McDonald's, which were one single brand at, you know, very large part of the revenue. New model. I'm sure the first one out of the gates will have to do the heavy lifting in explaining the model. But as you're saying, I believe the second and third will get that benefit. There are some people who say contrary. Because if the first one didn't go well, then people will become even more risk averse for the second guy. Like people were far more risk averse for Swiggy compared to what they saw the up and down versus...
आपके
पास ही आएंगे हम वैभव आप नैया पार लगाना
और कहीं जाने भी नहीं देंगे आपको. I think we have not covered RBI action on interest rate.
You think it's materially significant for the next 1 year? Why not?
I think a lot of significance of this 50 basis rate cut. So what was happening over last 15 to 16 months, we saw substantial slowdown in two categories. One was private capex and second was personal consumption growth. And which was visible in the data that we saw of personal loan growth being extremely tepid. So RBI is trying to address that. Large part of the growth in India over last 3-4 years has come from government-led capex boost.
Yes.
So government has spent money on capex, defense, all of these sectors, and the spillover impact of that was there across the economy. But
what percentage of GDP growth in the last 4 years was government capex?
Government capex is not directly given as a number, but I can tell you from 2009 to 2025, government's allocation towards capital expenditure went up from 2.5 lakh crores to 11 lakh crores. So there is a tangible and substantial impact of that.
But shouldn't we look at it relative to how the GDP also is? Like if commensurately GDP has gone up by the same amount. I know they don't give, but I have seen, for example, I was looking at this more in the US data, that most of US GDP growth in the last 4 years before Trump came in was actually led by government capex expenditure. And if you remove government expenditure / capex, there was negative GDP growth.
No, in India, that's not the case. I have data I can share with you.
So personal finance consumption is essentially growing, but the larger growth has been gross capital formation. That's what you're talking about.
Personal final consumption expenditure has been growing at a 6.7% over the last couple of years. If you look at government final consumption expenditure, it's been going at 4.9%.
Yeah.
But if you look at gross fixed capital formation, it's been growing at 8.1%. So that's been the biggest contributor to the growth.
And how do you, can you, for our viewers, explain what is capital formation here? Like, was it private? Is it government? Is it a mix?
There is cumulative. I don't have data which is broken up. So this includes a household. This includes... private capex, and this includes government capital.
Government capex as well. So from what I understand, a large part of this was infra investments by the government, including roads, ports, airports, etc. That investment under the current government, which has been in steady power for the last 12, 13 years, has been a substantial investment, which has led to this 8.1.
Yeah.
Sorry, but you were saying, so... all of that was happening, but private consumption was slowing down. So RBI then effectively felt that...
So RBI effectively felt that it's a good time to give booster to the economy with this rate cut. With 50 basis rate cut, along with government's announcement of reduction in
tech slips for salaried individual, a lot of liquidity will get released in the system. And that has substantial spillover impact. Because let's say tech saving will have 1 lakh crores worth of savings. So people will not use 1 lakh crores for food and basic necessities. Some part of that money will go towards buying things on loan and servicing EMIs. So if I'm saving 10,000 rupees a month, I may use that 10,000 rupees to buy something worth 1 lakh and use 10,000 rupees to pay my EMI. So some of these spillover impacts will start playing out.
Even today, I think GST cuts have also come in some categories.
I haven't seen that data.
I was reading, I think shoes and a couple of other places. So it clearly looks like there is some amount of oiling of the economy that's taking place systematically.
And you are expecting some of this to also find its way into, again, the capital markets, right, Weber?
It can find its way in the capital market, but I think more in consumption. So if you look at vehicle sales, the numbers have been extremely weak. So that should start to turn around now. Four-wheeler sales and two-wheeler sales, the numbers have been extremely weak. So that should start to see some turnaround now.
Very helpful. I think this sort of gives us a good segue into why the market seems to be also bullish about, again, Indian consumption and stocks around Indian consumption.
Yeah.
Which is, and if you see, most of the IPOs lined up are consumer tech. Very few. I mean, Pine Labs is also beneficial of indirectly consumption only because that's more digital payments happening in offline modern trade, petrol pumps. Like, you see Pine Labs machines everywhere, right? I'm assuming that's the bulk of their and so much more, right? Whether it's logistics, whether it's a ship rocket, whether it's a Shadowfax, all of them are effectively indices in some way or beneficiaries of an increased consumption, which also sort of signals as to why everybody seems to be making a beeline right now, because the expectation is that the next 12 months will keep seeing a uprise, and that sentiment seems to be carried forward on both supply and demand side.
Absolutely. So manufacturing side growth has been strong because government has given a lot of incentives. Government capex has been very strong. Private capex has been a bit of an issue. Private listed corporates are sitting on, I think, 2-year low debt to equity. So there is no leverage on the balance sheet. So offtake of credit from private companies is extremely low. And personal consumption has also been slow. So RBI in some sense has front-loaded that in combination with the tax relief that government has provided should augment consumption substantially over next 12 to 15 months.
But we should get to the charts quickly. I think we have a full... thanks for sharing the reports, Weber. I think it was very helpful to know that what does a person who manages 10,000 crore, what is he reading? And at least that was a good starting point for us. How do capital allocators essentially do research? What is piquing their intellectual curiosity? So that was a good starting point. But that led us down to a rabbit hole of just so many charts and questions that we thought that you should be the best person to answer that. And I think the first broad aspect that surprised me that, you know, I had put up on our group was what's been happening over the in the listed equities market over the last 5 odd years, right? What has happened is on a free float basis, we are seeing that domestic mutual fund has become like 21% of the entire free float market. And financial, and this has been covered a lot, right? That FPI's ownership has come down. But what was very intriguing to see that the individual ownership seems to have stagnated. And maybe it's the fact that more people are putting money through mutual funds and directly themselves. But the most intriguing was, you know, this chart where in the last 3 years, almost 4 lakh crore has been a net inflow by individual investors. And the previous decade was negative 1 lakh crore. So what has changed in this post-COVID scenario that this chart is showing?
So 2-3 things have happened. So pre-COVID scenario, access to easy entry in financial instruments was not available. So There was no access available. It was a fairly onerous process to set up PMS account, DMAT accounts, or broking accounts. You need to physically.
So you're saying Aadhaar based authentication was like maybe a kicker.
Yeah, a big kicker.
But that kicked off pre-COVID or just in COVID?
2018-19 is when digital onboarding for broking started, and it coincided with digital brokers' growth also. Along with that, a lot of other digitization initiatives that government took made it easier to invest in mutual funds also. So there is a platform called MF Central where you can go and look at your reports. You can execute trades directly digitally. So all of these were big enablers of investing money. People wanted frictionless experience. And this frictionless experience, and you spoke about stable money, them being able to mobilize 10,000 crores of FDs, just creating a digital platform is a great example of what enablement can do for mobilization of assets. So that's one thing. Second, the kind of campaign that AMFI ran around mutual funds, Sahi Hai, has also played a great part in that. And third, obviously, is a big bull market which played out in Indian market. People typically chase asset classes which have performed really well in the recent past. So from 2020 onwards, year after year, equity has been the best performing asset class, with an exception of gold. So that has also played its part in creating this great incentive for investors to invest money in Indian equity market. SIP experience for investors has been really great. And last factor, if I were to add, is interest rates have been really low. And on a post-tax basis, it doesn't make sense to keep money in fixed deposits. So a lot of that money has also started moving into mutual funds.
Yeah.
Now to answer your question on retail investor participation remaining stagnant, I think retail participation has not remained stagnant. It's coming more through mutual funds instead of coming direct.
Well, markets have been at an all-time high. Retail participation is high. Mutual fund participation is high. We are broadening the base of investors. And it will. It seems to be continuing, right? Roughly, I think 1.5 lakh crore of new SIP money flows in to mutual funds every month, right?
No. About 30,000 crores of monthly flows. So that's about 3.5 lakh crores of annual flows.
So 30,000 crore every month is given to mutual funds ki aap deploy karo. And markets are already at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Right? So what we are seeing is this... From what is the total cash that mutual funds would be sitting on today that they have to deploy? About 2 lakh crore?
About 2.5 lakh crores.
2.5 lakh crore unke paas hai, right? So there's a lot of supply of money, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, and markets are at all-time high because that money has to be deployed. But at the same time, we are saying promoter ownership in Nifty 50 is coming down. So is this because the promoters of Nifty 50 companies are saying that boss, all-time high, let's take some chips off the table? Or is it that new age IPOs like Zomato, which is now Eternal, which has, let's say, 10% promoter holding, is part of Nifty 50? Like, what's the broad trend that you see here?
A combination of both. New age IPOs like Zomato, much lower promoter holding. Tech companies' weightages have gone up substantially in the index, where promoter holding, so Infosys, TCS, has very large share of index weightage. Then you have banks like ICICI Bank, HDFC Bank, which would have very high weightage in the index. All of these have negligible promoter holding to no promoter holdings.
So and also the RBI push, for example, to Kotak, that keep reducing your promoter holding, right?
So if you look at the composition of index, in 2000-2005, it was largely industrials, manufacturing, shipping giants, chemical manufacturer. From that to financial services and information technology and new age businesses, the composition of index has changed substantially. So a lot of promoter holding reduction is on account of that. Second, a lot of fundraising has also happened. So we were discussing that India has seen a tremendous number of fundraisers, both new companies coming out with an IPO and existing promoters doing an offer for sale. So both of these has also ended up reducing promoter holding in Indian market cap.
So is it fair to say we are self-reliant And this capital inflow will continue. Hence, we continue to see this. I remember we had shared one chart where India is like the highest in terms of IPO global proceeds, or at least a significant share. And largely, it looks like that this, what you're saying, 30,000 crores of mutual fund money will continue to come. Right. So it looks like that there is a lot of self-reliance, less dependence on FPI.
See, as of now, evidence are supportive of that. Last 3-4 years, retail investor behavior has been fairly stable. But in last 22 years of my experience, the behavior can change as fast. So brevity of financial memory is a bit of an issue here. So the chart that we were discussing initially, where we saw that retail investors kept pulling out money till 2018-19 out of the market. That was primarily because of the scars of 2008 correction. So for a prolonged
2008 correction till 2018.
From 2008 to 2013, nothing happened in the market. So markets virtually remained where they were. In January of 2008, Nifty was at 6,000. In July of 2013, Nifty was at 6,000. So for 5 years, there were no returns. And people typically wait for recovery to take out money. The moment market recovers, you believe that you're no longer seeing any losses in the portfolio. So it's a great time to pull out money. So that continued till 2016, 17, 18. Then people again started investing money. So there is a bit of a lag in investor behavior when it comes to asset class performance. So today, everyone is talking about investing in precious metal. India obviously has been a leader in terms of investing in gold. But every other conversation that we have centers around how much to allocate money to precious metals. It's not because fundamentally people are seeing significant shift in some of these precious metal valuations, but because precious metal has done really well over last 4 to 5 years.
About extreme fear to extreme greed. And we oscillate between those extremes versus be objective and logical at these points of time. Essentially, that's what you're talking about.
It's a bit of a pendulum kind of a situation. But pendulum never stops at the center. It will swing, keep swinging to both the extremes. It will never stay at the center. So when you look at the averages, and one of the most misleading data that is shared widely amongst financial services community is average returns of the asset class, which honestly doesn't signify anything.
Yeah.
So average of 100 and 0 is 50. It doesn't signify anything.
But I'm assuming people have at least evolved to say, now let's track median across, like, what's the median across the last 5 years, or at least look at CAGR, look at XIRR over 5 years, or that education has still not happened.
That's still not there. So when people are investing, they're looking at 3-year point-to-point performance and then saying that 3-year point-to-point, this fund has delivered the best performance, therefore I should invest in this. So rolling return is the best indicator. Probability of generating average return is a much better indicator. So over a 5-year, if there is a 90% probability that you'll make more than 8% returns, is a better indicator than saying that on an average, I've generated 10% returns.
But how is this calculated? If you can help us, like how do you calculate the probability that, let's say I have to give money to you to manage? How do I know ki jo aap probability de rahe ho ya koi aur ye probability kaise nikalega?
It's computed based on historical data.
Oh, very cool.
So
why isn't that? Like, if I go to a money control or some website, it'll show 3-year, 5-year returns, point in time. Why isn't this now the norm then across the industry? Because the industry doesn't want to adopt it. Like,
difficult to comprehend.
Difficult hai na, samajhna. For a normal user, think about it. 90% probability pick ho gaya.
I would believe that you would want that acumen to be there for someone who's giving money.
Nahi, 90% probability will make 8% return. The natural math is to say it's 7.2% expected, which is also wrong. That's not the way to compute it. So it's actually mathematically actually nuanced over.
Very interesting.
It's also a function of your entry valuation. The biggest driver of returns in equity market is your entry valuation. If you get your entry valuation wrong, your probability of making average returns goes down sharply. See, we are dealing with non-deterministic issues. So, deterministic outcome to nahi hai. Humko nahi pata hai ki market mein future mein kya hone wala hai.
Correct.
So, we are dealing with non-deterministic problems. So, we can only make the odds in our favor. The best way to make odds in our favor is to invest at favorable valuations.
But one question I had, sorry, Arvi, I just wanted to ask one more thing. I think a lot of the new age investing which has happened over the last 4 or 5 years has seen phases of muted bear markets, but hasn't seen a real hit like 2008, for example, or even COVID, frankly. I think COVID is the last time market really took a big hit, and that also people knew that this was kind of totally extraneous to any core intrinsics of the markets. How much of that do you think plays into the allocation mindset? And is that what, when you say that, you know, you feel like recency effect is so high that any moment this could kind of change, as if it just requires one large recessionary disaster kind of a thing?
One fundamental difference between 2008 and 2020, COVID was as bigger or maybe a bigger crisis than 2008 because it impacted the entire world. 2008, in some sense, was a US-created issue, which was limited to US. It had some spillover impact, but didn't impact Indians.
Yeah.
India, there was no impact. Indian consumers were not impacted because of some crisis in US. There was a global slowdown, and which impacted our GDP growth. Our GDP growth was still, I think, if I'm not wrong, was around 5.5% in 2008, which was okay for that kind of an year. The change which has happened is regulators have become extremely sensitive to large movements in financial markets. You would see every time there is a sharp movement in the financial market, there will be some commentary from the regulators to calm the nerves. Or there will be some intervention from the regulators to calm the nerves.
On that note, really, really good fun. I hope aapne gyan bataya. I'm thinking hum to sirf sawal hi pooch rahe the, but I hope it was at least a good an hour and a half for you as well.
No,
we'll pick your brains more on... clearly, one thing I know, public market investors are very tight-lipped. I know I can expect a comment on this episode already saying ki Revan should talk less. Wo bichare ko baat nahi kar rahe the, but bhai baat hi nahi kar rahe the. Wo matlab unse nikalwana pad raha tha ki kuch to bol do karke aap.
I think I've spoken enough.
Very good fun, yaar. Very, very good learning session for us. Good.